Amen. How great is our God? Pretty awesome, right? Yeah. All right. Good job. Real good job this morning. Good to see everyone here today. This is a good crowd. I didn't know what we'd be like. I know a lot of folks are taking advantage of being out of school with the kids and taking some trips, and then there's folks that's out because of sickness, flu, and things of that nature going on. So we miss everybody, but it is good to see all of you folks that are here today. These ladies are going to play for us. Would you please stand, take a moment of time, shake hands with someone seated there around you, if you would, please. All right. Okay, a bunch of you got coughed this morning, didn't you? Oh, me. That's quite all right, though. Now, I failed to give something to Chad to have him to announce. I'm going to just read this real quickly. So it's a deacon ordination that'll be held Sunday afternoon on March the 8th at 2 p.m. It's at New Harmony Baptist Church, and they're ordaining Brother Dean Pearson. That is Sunday, March 8th at 2 p.m., New Harmony Baptist Church. And I just wanted to make you aware of that. A lot of things going on. Everything's been announced. Come and be a part next Saturday afternoon, 5 o'clock, fellowship time. If you're new to the church or if you've just been coming some, we really want to extend an invitation to you. It's a good time to get to know folks and to just fellowship with people. So next Saturday afternoon, 5 o'clock, come and be with us. Special invitation, especially for those that are new or visiting with us. We really want you to come and be a part of that. Okay, today if you have your Bibles, turn back to the book of Luke again and the 8th chapter again. Last Sunday we looked at some scripture that was along towards the end of Luke's gospel, and today we're going to look at a couple of verses that are at the very beginning of Luke's gospel. In fact, it's just a few verses there that we're going to look at. Luke's gospel, chapter number 8, verses 1 through 3. Let's just go ahead and read those. And it came to pass afterward that they went out through every city and village, preaching, showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. So here's Jesus going around. This already tells us he's going from town to town. The 12 disciples are with him. But now we're going to be introduced to someone that we're really going to zero in on this morning. Certain woman, which had been healed of many evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, Joanna, the wife of Chuz, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. That's all we're going to read this morning. Then I'm going to reference some verses of Scripture that speaks about this woman. If I just say to anybody, if I were to say to you this morning, under the influence, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? DUI, right? Probably. But that's not what I'm talking about. Not at all. Influence is when you have the capacity to have an effect on someone's behavior or their character. That's what influence is, when you have an effect on someone's character. And Jesus had definitely had influence on this one woman's character and had developed her in her life. The reality is, though, about life, that all of us, every single one of us, are under some kind of influence. You think about the things that influence every one of us in the world that you and I live in today. People influence us. Our jobs influence us. Politics influence people greatly. News outlets influence people greatly. Music we listen to influences our lives, all of us. But then let's really take it a step further, because this is where I want you and I to be, as everyone that's listening today. I want to ask you just a question. I really don't want you to answer it out loud. Just answer it to yourself. Are you under the influence of Jesus or the devil? Now, you know, I don't want you to answer it out loud, right? But really and truly, that's the truth. We either let Christ influence our life, or we let the devil influence our life. This woman, Mary Magdalene, this is where she is first introduced in the Scripture. And I'm going to tell you a couple of things about this woman and hopefully even clear up some things about this particular woman. But here is the very first place in all of Scripture that she is introduced and anything is made mention of her. Well, it tells us when the Scripture that I just read in our hearing, it tells us what had transpired and happened in her life, but we don't know when it happened. I don't know if it had happened a year prior to this or a few months prior to this being written or exactly when it had happened, but the thing about it was that this woman that we've been introduced to has had been set free from evil spirits. That's what the Bible tells us. And that her infirmities, whatever they were, and we don't really know what those were, but that she has also been healed of all of this that had been wrong with this woman in her life. She's been set free from evil forces or evil spirits, and she has also been healed of physical problems or ailments, infirmities is the way the King James says it, that she had. But the one thing about it, the one thing that we can really understand is that this woman had had a true life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the thing that I want all of us to think about, if we're under the influence and we call ourselves Christians, then you and I should have some type of experience as this woman has had, that we have had a life-changing experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we live under the influence of Christ, because we ourselves have experienced a life-changing encounter with a Christ who is able to give life-changing encounters. When did that woman's take place? Like I said, we have no idea. The Bible doesn't tell us. We're just introduced to her right here, and we come to understand that she is very much under the influence of Christ and a very, very devoted woman. And you and I should be the same way. When we have had a life-changing encounter, and listen, let me ask all of us, and I hope everyone would answer yes to this, is not a relationship with Christ, when you trusted Christ as your Lord and your Savior in your life, is that not a life-changing encounter with Christ? Sure it is. It's a life-changing encounter for all of us, whether you done it when you were a small child or whether you were in the teenage years or whether you were an adult. If you had a true experience with Christ and you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior in your life, then it was a life-changing encounter with Christ. And that's exactly what this woman had had, was a true life-changing encounter. And when you and I, when anybody experiences a true life-changing encounter with Christ, we should come under the influence of Christ. Now, does that mean that nowhere along life's way that anything else will never influence? No, I can't tell you that. It shouldn't, but that's probably not going to happen, because we let our guards down sometimes and we become influenced by other things that we really shouldn't allow. But this woman is a prime example of what it is to really live under the influence of Christ. She is very much devoted to Christ and to what His mission is and what He is teaching. And we understand that everybody needs a life-changing experience and a life-changing encounter with Christ. Everybody needs that. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. To some people, they look around and they say, well, you know what? I don't need no life-changing encounter with the Lord. I'm not that bad a person. I'm not this or I'm not that or whatever, so on and so forth. I'm just not bad. Yes, you are. I'm sorry to be the one to break it to you, but you are. You were born into this world with a sin nature. Now, a lot of people, listen, I've used this analogy before and described it this way. Some people can say, oh, preacher, I just really don't believe that. Little boys and little girls, they're so sweet and innocent. Yeah, they are. And please, mama, don't get mad at me today. But I will guarantee you, you will never, ever have to teach that child to be ugly. It will not happen. You as a mother and dad, if you want to have an influence on that child's life and raise them in the way that's right, you will spend all of your time teaching them what is right. You don't have to teach a kid to fib. I've never found one yet that you had to. Or you sure didn't mind. And I'll just be real honest with you. They didn't nobody have to teach me how to, okay? So I'm being real honest with you, right? It's that nature that we're born into and that all of us have. So that's why people do. That's why if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior in your life, you've never come to a personal relationship with Him, you have a sin nature about you. And He is really the only one that can ever correct it, and He's the only one that can put you back into right relationship with God. He's the only way, Christ. And trusting Him as a Lord and a Savior in your life is really the only way to correct that problem that people have. So this woman here, she had a true life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you a couple of things about this woman, okay? Mary Magdalene, all right? That's the woman that we're talking about today. And why do we know that this woman was under such great influence of this man Jesus and how the world, even you and I today, even still see the influence that this woman must have had and did have and the influence that Jesus had in her life? First of all, did you know this? This woman is mentioned 14 times. 14 times this woman's name is mentioned in the New Testament, in the New Testament Gospel. This woman is mentioned 14 times. She is the only woman mentioned that many times save Mary, the mother of Jesus. This woman is mentioned more times than any other woman in the Bible. In fact, this woman is in New Testament Gospels. Let me correct that. And in fact, this woman is mentioned more times than many of the disciples, save those inner three, Peter, James, and John. You know, we hear their names a lot, but some of those other guys, Mary Magdalene is mentioned more in New Testament scriptural writing than those guys are. She was a very much a woman under the influence of Christ, and here she is being a follower of Christ. But what about a reputation that has been cast on this woman? Most of the time, if you see a picture of Mary Magdalene, it is it portrays her. I'm just going to use this word. I hope it's okay. It portrays her as some type of loose woman. Scripture does absolutely not teach that anywhere. I think one of the popes, Pope Gregory, about the 6th century AD, something like that, tried to connect this Mary Magdalene with the woman that Jesus had an encounter with just one chapter back, but the Bible does not connect them. And so many times people get this wrong, and then people also allow television and movies and books and things of that nature to draw their theology. If you've ever watched, read, or seen anything about the last temptation of Christ, that's crazy. If you are a the Da Vinci Code watcher, if you have fell into that and you watch it, I hope and pray that you do not get your theology from that movie, because you will be dead wrong about this woman. She never married Jesus. That's a thing that is went around. They had no kind of intimate relationship whatsoever. It's ludicrous to even think that. Even in Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of Christ, who I think done as good a job as any Hollywood production probably to portray Christ in a very accurate way, he missed the part about Mary Magdalene. He missed it. He did not get it right. Read the Bible. Don't base your understanding of things and your perception of people, especially even people in the Bible, just don't base it on, oh yeah, I know that's got to be right. Man, that was in Mel Gibson's movie. It's got to be right. Go back and read the Word of God and then see if it's right. Because you're going to find out that it was wrong. Read the Bible and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Also, there is a theory that Magdala, it's a city on the west coast side of Galilee, little small town that was there, and it didn't have the best of reputation. But does that give us the right to make someone into something that they're not? Remember what people said about Jesus? Evidently, Nazareth didn't have too good a name about it, did it? What'd they say? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's what they said about Jesus. So evidently Nazareth, if you look at things in regard to that, evidently Nazareth didn't have too good a reputation either, because there was done people in Jesus' day saying that about Jesus. He's from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of that little old town of Nazareth down there? So they must not have had too good a reputation themselves. So you don't base somebody on circumstances. But this woman was very much under the influence of Christ. When you read this passage, remember what I said. They are going out. They're going from city to city, from town to town. The 12 disciples is there. And then it introduces us to this woman, Mary. And it talks about these other women that are there also. And then it tells us something else about this woman, that they ministered to him with all their substance. Now, the better rendering of that was that they were financially supportive of the ministry of Christ. This woman evidently had financial means, and she supported the ministry of Christ, and she was under the influence. Christ had influenced this woman greatly, and, you know, no preacher likes to talk about this, but I'll just go ahead and tell you the truth about it. If you're really under the influence of Christ, you understand the importance of supporting financially your church. That's just the truth. And that was what this woman done. She gave. Out of gratitude, out of the fact that she had truly had an experience, an encounter that had totally transformed and changed this woman. Now I'm going to run through just real quickly some things that I want you to never forget about this woman, because these are the biblical things about her. And she done some remarkable things. And why did she do these things? It was because she was under the influence of Christ, under his influence. When you look into the ends of the Gospels, and you begin to read the stories of the crucifixion and everything that's transpiring and going on there. The 12 are nowhere to be found, save John. Some maybe viewing from afar off. But do you know what the Bible tells us? Do you know where Mary Magdalene was? She was at the cross until Christ was taken down off of the cross. Nothing scared her. Nothing shook her faith. She had had an encounter with a true Savior. And she was a changed woman, and she lived under that influence. And she waited. She waited for that body of Jesus to be taken down off of the cross. And she goes with them to the garden, to Joseph's tomb, to place the body there. That's in actually the three synoptic gospels, for sure. I know it is. And then, when you read in Mark's gospel, she is the woman that brings the spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Where was them disciples at? Was that a woman's job? I don't know. They may have thought it was. But they were nowhere to be found. Mary Magdalene was there. Who shows up early at the tomb? All 12 of them disciples wasn't running down the road to see if they could find out what was going on down at the tomb. Mary Magdalene was. She was at the tomb. She's the one that finds it empty. She is the one that the angels speak to and tells her that he's not here. He's risen just like he had said. And in John's gospel, she is the one that Jesus appeared to first after his resurrection. Remember? In the garden. And they're talking. And then she realizes who it is. So, Mary Magdalene, who we don't know what her encounter exactly when it took place, but when we're introduced to her here, we see that she is very much a person that is under the influence of Christ because of the way she lives her life. And people sees our lives and they will know whether we are under the influence of Christ, whether he is one that influences our lives. Whatever the reputation that she did or did not have, Mary Magdalene teaches you and I how to love Jesus. She teaches you and I how to serve Jesus. And most of all, she teaches you and I how to enthusiastically tell others about Jesus, because that's exactly what she done. And that's exactly what you and I should do if we're living under the influence of Christ. So again, I'll ask you this in closing. Whose influence are you under today? You under the influence of Christ, or are you letting everything in the world influence you and the devil influence you? Whose influence in your life? Are you influenced by Christ and Christ alone and what he does? Ronnie, get us a song. We're going to stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Christ as Savior in your life, I want to invite you to come, because You will never be under the influence of Christ until you've had an encounter with Christ. This woman could have never experienced and lived out what she lived unless she had had an encounter with Christ. You can try to just be good and try to, you know, obey mom and dad, I guess, that kind of stuff. That's not good enough. It takes a genuine, true encounter with Christ in order to live under His influence like He wants us to. So while we sing this hymn of invitation, we invite you to come.